The Retirement and IRA Show represents the words and views of the show hosts exclusively and should not be construed as investment, legal, or tax advice. All information is believed to be from reliable sources. However, we make no representation as to its completeness or accuracy. All economic and performance information is historical in nature and is not indicative of any future results. Any indices mentioned on the show are unmanaged and cannot be invested in directly. Diversification and asset allocation strategies do not assure profit or protect against loss. Never make any investment or financial decisions based on information offered on this show without first consulting your financial, legal, or tax advisor. Financial planning services offered through Jim Salnier & Associates, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
This is the Retirement and IRA Show coming to you from beautiful Northern Colorado. Join us as certified financial planner Jim Salnier, as well as Colorado State University finance instructor and certified financial planner Chris Stein, teach you about IRAs, 401ks, annuities, Social Security, pension plans, and estate planning in a fun and enjoyable show. Whether you are listening live in Colorado or streaming from their website or iTunes podcast, Jim and Chris want you to know that they're available to help you plan for your retirement. Just visit their website at jimhelps.com. That's Jim, H-E-L-P-S.com. And click the Meet the Team button on the homepage. Now, here's Jim and Chris with today's show.
Well, welcome to the Retirement and IRA Show, EDU edition for this week. On this final EDU show for National Annuity Awareness Month, we're actually going to continue on a little bit from it was a question that was posed in our last Q&A show. Happened to be a question regarding annuities in particular, annuities under the new fee-based platform. In other words, there are new annuities that are offered through the Registered Investment Advisory channel that are what are referred to as fee-based, meaning there's none of the traditional commissions paid to a producing agent, as would happen with in the traditional insurance channel of days gone by and current. That channel still exists. But they were asking about, you know, some of the differences. What, you know, are they really that much better? And we posed one example where we looked at a simple MYGA, multi-year guaranteed annuity. Those rates in both channels, how do they differ? And they differed actually very little. You'd think that by the insurance company not paying a commission, that the rates on the non-commissioned fee-based version of the MYGA would be noticeably higher. And it is true they were a bit higher, but it was a very small amount. And the reason that we discussed before is that the commissions on the commission-based MYGAs are actually quite tiny to begin with. There just isn't a lot of commission there. So when they rip it out, it doesn't provide the insurance company a lot of opportunity to pass on to you, the customer, the benefits of not paying a commission. Today, we're going to expand on that and actually look at some annuities that have traditionally much higher commissions, and we'll kind of dissect whether the fee-based non-commission version of those is truly that much better for you, the person, the consumer of these annuities, than the old, the version that pays the commission. So Jim's on board with me again today from the remote studio. So I'm going to unmute him. Hopefully he hasn't been trying to talk during this whole time because I've had him muted, but he's free to speak now. And,
I just said the most brilliant thing ever. I was saying the most brilliant stuff ever, and apparently I was muted and everybody missed it, so you'll never hear it again.
It was
a one-time deal.
You'll just have to come up with new brilliance to share.
that window was open and closed really quick, so you missed it. But when is this playing? Is it before or after July 4th?
This is going to play before. So this will play on this will release for public consumption on June 29th.
June 29th. Oh, tomorrow.
Yes. We are recording.
So
that.
I am probably right about now, folks, stuck in the Houston airport, very upset. I'm just guessing.
You have a real positive outlook over this whole thing.
I am flying tomorrow morning, wicked early. I think we're leaving at 4 in the morning. We're going to drive to the
airport. That's probably your saving grace, because the earlier the better.
I'm going to, we have to leave for the airport at 4. I think we fly out at 7.
Yeah.
But I have a 3-hour layover in Houston.
Oh.
Yeah. And then on the way back, I got a 5-hour layover in Houston. So I just know that my flights are going to be delayed in Houston. If you're going to be stuck there that long, it's just going to be delayed. But anyways, I'm on my way to Florida. So I hope everybody has a wonderful July 4th holiday. I'm going to go enjoy the cool oceanside breezes in Venice and Sarasota, Florida. And hopefully see the fireworks. I did look at the weather. It is, I didn't even know why they even bother telling you Florida weather
day,
in July.
Right?
It's the same every damn day. Mm-hmm. About 91 as a high, humidity through the roof. Dew point, oh my Lord, I never saw a dew point as high as that. It's like 78 or 83 in some days. So very hot, very sticky. And then in the afternoon, chance of massive showers from about 5 o'clock, they said, till about 9 at night. Every day, it's just the same. But my mom said those showers are pretty cool. Cool if you're into really scary thunder booming hard rain showers. So, anyways, maybe Rachel will have flashbacks from when she grew up in the jungles of Brazil. Okay. Anyways, folks, I know y'all might be getting tired of annuities, but it was National Annuity Awareness Month, so we did think we would try to answer questions, and we kept getting more and more questions in. And I truly am trying to educate people on the products. I often call annuities as an analogy. Annuities to me are like dogs. Everybody knows I love dogs. I've had dogs my entire life. Sadly, when my last dog died a few years ago, I did not replace him. This is the longest I have been without a dog, and I miss them. But I also, because I am spending a lot of time traveling and going back and forth to Ohio and here, it's not appropriate for me to have a dog if I'm going to be gone and moving around that much. So I made a decision not to have one. But I call annuities dogs in the sense, not that they're dog products, so it's the derogatory use of the term dog. I call them dogs because there are appropriate dogs for each task. I had Chesapeake Bay Retrievers. You would not use a Chesapeake Bay Retriever as a lap dog. You would use a Bichon. And you wouldn't use a Bichon as a goose hunting dog in the cold Atlantic Ocean. You would use a Chesapeake Bay Retriever. So you have to match the right dog to the right task. You have to match the right annuity to the right task, if you will. But also, no matter how much I like dogs, there's just some dogs I can't stand. Absolutely can't stand, don't want them, don't want to be around them. I'm not going to name them because I don't want to get hate mail from people who own them, except for Chows. I always call out Chows. It's not that I hate those dogs. You ever look at them? They're just weird. And they have those, you know that Chow is sitting there looking at you going, red rum, red rum, red rum.
True. That's they are known all to be thinking. A little, yeah. Yeah.
I think they're they're bred to be psycho just to scare the hell out of you. But something about Chows, I know there's people out there loving it. Don't they have that purple tongue too? It just, come on, any dog with a purple tongue looking at you going red rum, there's something wrong with that dog. But some dogs I don't like. They're just not nice dogs. And it's the same thing with annuities. There are a lot of annuities Chris and I just absolutely despise, we don't like. But when I got into retirement planning, folks, I had hired, I don't want to get into the whole story, someday I will, but I was working with a consulting firm, as you know, Chris, out of California. And when he helped me identify where my true calling was, excuse me, where my true calling for my firm was. This was 5 years into my career. And he told me, he says, Jim, I never met anyone who seems to revolve all around retirement like you do. He said, you should concentrate your practice on just retirement planning. And he explained to me it was called niche marketing. Nowadays, everyone does that. But 20 years ago, it was radical to say, you're just going to do this. But he told me, Chris, he said, you can't just call yourself a retirement planner. I'll never forget this. He said, you need to learn everything about retirement planning. I approached you with that, and that's why you and I started studying Social Security on our own. Mm-hmm. We had to learn all this. When I got out of Boston University, folks, that's where I went to school to, I audited the courses. I didn't enroll for credit. They let me audit them. And I audited the courses to allow me to sit for the Certified Financial Planner exam. That was in the 90s. Guess what they taught us about annuities, Chris, in the 90s?
There's that no massive, good dogs. They're yes, all there's no good dogs. Annuities. They're all the derogatory dogs.
I kid you not, folks. They taught us to despise annuities. Now, the CFP program was taught by other CFPs. I realize now they were biased. It's the 1990s. It's all about stockbroking and stocks and this and that. They absolutely drilled into my head I should hate annuities. And for the first 5, 6, 7 years of my career, that carried forward. I had to hate annuities. I was taught that, and I despised them. I didn't really know why I hated them. I just knew I was supposed to hate them because that's what people told me. You should hate those. But when this consultant told me I needed to learn everything about retirement, that became my life, folks. It truly did. I have no wife. I have no children. We joke about that at times. And it's fine. I'm okay with it. I am dating someone now. We'll see where it goes. But that meant I had a lot of free time, probably more free time than most people. Maybe that was my calling. I don't know. But I started learning all I could about retirement. And I started learning all I could about annuities. And you know what, Chris? As I kept learning more and more about them, my attitude started to change. Not to the point where I loved them, but to the point where I was saying, I never knew that about them. I didn't know that about them. Well, gee, if a client is coming to me and wants income, I can't guarantee it to them. If I'm going to be a retirement planner, I need to look at an annuity for that. But wow, annuities could also be used as a bond substitute in a rising interest rate environment if I used a MIGA. BU never taught me anything like that, Chris. They just taught me hate annuities. I share this, folks, because if you're listening to this and say, oh, wow, another damn stupid annuity show, I'm going to move on. Don't. You do it yourselfers. You were me 25 years ago. You were taught to hate them. Don't hate them. Certainly don't love them. But learn about them. Understand them. Because they may fit in your situation. And then you have to know enough to make sure if you do get one, you're not sold a bill of goods. You don't look for that Bashan and all of a sudden you got some crazy ass chow staring you in the face because you didn't know what you bought. So I'm trying to teach you this truly. We're not trying to sell them here. We never once told anyone to call us and buy one. We wouldn't sell you one anyways. We're not trying to sell anything on this show. I'm truly trying to teach you. I despised annuities when I first started in this career. And if you're a financial advisor listening to this, you should, and you're going to concentrate on retirement. If you're not going to concentrate on retirement, don't worry about it. You can continue hating annuities. I don't care. But if you're going to work with retirees, you've got to learn these products and you got to keep an open mind and truly learn so you can spot the crazy chow annuities and get rid of them and don't even get near them. But that nice Chesapeake Bay Retriever who will retrieve ducks for you all day and sit by your side all night, you got to find that wonderful annuity. Chesapeake Bay Retrievers were the dogs I used to have, folks. I love Chessies. They're wonderful dogs. That's what we're trying to teach you, how to find the Chessie. So last week, we got that email from someone who said, hey, I heard David Lau, isn't it L-O-U? Gosh, I should have had that.
L-A-U.
Open.
I think.
L-A-U. Okay, thank you. You pronounce it Lau? Lou? Mm-hmm.
I think it's Lau.
How would you? Lau? Okay. Mm-hmm. He's very, I like the guy. Never met him. Talked to him once, but he's not going to remember that. But he started a company that would distribute fee-based annuities that will not pay the advisor who is recommending it to their clients, 1 red cent in a commission. They will pay David's company a commission. I did want to point that out, and I did last on the last Q&A show. They will pay David's company a commission. No big deal, but that's how annuities are distributed. But they don't pay the advisor a commission at all. Instead, what does the advisor do, Chris?
Well, the advisor will charge for their services or advice in another way, usually some sort of fee of some kind directly to the client.
Exactly. So these can only, these fee-based annuities is what the industry calls them. I don't like to call them commission-free because, as I already said, David's company and others, there's several other companies, not just David's company, that will distribute these quote-unquote fee-based annuities, but they are paid by the insurance company for distributing and opening the annuity. I call that a commission. When you're paid a fee by another company for selling that company's products, that's a commission. So David's company earns a very small commission. It's not what the brokers used to earn. And that's how the product is distributed. And I have no problem with that, and neither should you folks. You got to get it distributed somehow. Someone has to be paid.
If they're going to act as that middle person, middle entity, we'll call it. They've got to, you know, be able to make money and pay for putting food on the table, etc.
Right. So I have no problem with that at all, and neither should you. The commission that was removed is the commission that would be paid to the person selling you the annuity. I tried to explain on that Q&A show. This wasn't an EDU, it was a Q&A show. I tried to explain on that Q&A show that with companies like David's now, there are really three ways annuities are distributed: through the broker-dealer channel, and that's the stock brokers, that's the commission-based stock brokers, things of that nature. Insurance-only channel, those are the men and women who don't have any type of security licenses, can't talk about investments, can't sell investments. They just sell insurance products only. That's called the insurance channel. And now you have this new channel to sell through registered investment advisory firms. My firm, Jim Solomon & Associates, is a registered investment advisory firm. Mm-hmm. I told everybody on the show, we are not registered reps at our firm. In other words, we are not on the broker side. We are not affiliated with FINRA, the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority. We have nothing to do with the brokerage side. So we are on the RIA side. But I also maintain an insurance license on my own. Most owners of a registered investment advisory firm, or most investment advisor representatives, which are kind of the employees of those registered investment advisory firms, most of those do not maintain an insurance license. They have been taught to hate annuities, so they don't have an insurance license. They've been taught to hate any type of commission as if it's evil and vile, so they don't have an insurance license. I still do, because I never forgot what that business consultant from California told me many years ago. I have to know all I can about retirement. I have to know about commission products, and I have to know about fee-based products in order for me to tell my clients I'm working with, and this is my opinion, other people will disagree, but in order for me to tell people I am working with, here's what you own, I've seen this before, or I've heard about it, this is a broker product that works this way, or this is a fee-based product that works that way. But also, as Chris and I are going to show you, there are times where maybe the commission product is actually the better thing. And if we truly are going to try to do what's quote unquote in the best interest, it's become a marketing tool now, so I hate saying it, but best interest of my clients, I have to know both sides. It would be like a vet only knowing cats and not dogs. You got to know both. So That's what we're going to try to do today. We're going to talk a little bit deeper because this listener on the Q&A show said, wow, did you know about this? Have you ever heard of this company DPL with David Lau? And you can get these annuities that don't pay commissions. And she was talking about it like it was the next best thing to sliced bread. And they can be. Go back and listen to the Q&A show, though, and you'll see on fixed annuities, such as multi-year guaranteed MIGAs, on MIGA annuities, the difference is very minor. And depending on what the RIA, Registered Investment Advisory Firm, is going to charge you to buy the annuity, it may not be better than the commission one.
Right. The fee they were charging you might be worse, more painful for you financially than the commission that was embedded in the commission-based product itself. That's the challenge. That's the issue. And our whole industry is fraught. And I'll make this one comment and then go off because this could be a rant. Our industry is fraught with people marketing from a standpoint that it's this or that, that it is something is way better without exception. It's, you know, black or white. It's so disconnected from reality. Recognizing that in certain circumstances, due to all the variables in play, maybe the left hand is better than the right hand here. But in this case, the right hand is better than the left hand. There's none of that in any of the marketing or pushing of this. It's always, this is the greatest thing in every way. That is the greatest thing in every way. Life just isn't like that. The financial services industry shouldn't be like that, but people try to make it like that as a way to, in their eyes, simplify it for you, the people they're trying to sell stuff to, but they're actually doing you a disservice, treating you like you're stupid and trying to shove something down your throat in the most of the time. That's the rant part that I won't go on any further into.
No, but I agree on that. And in this industry, and Chris and I bash the industry a lot, but in this industry, and this has a lot to do with the regulators and even the CFP board themselves, Certified Financial Planner Board, they have embraced fees as being pure as the driven snow and commissions being as evil as who is the guy I mentioned last time? Lex Luthor.
That's who you mentioned last time. You meant Hannibal Lecter.
Hannibal Lecter.
He's the guy in Silence of the
Lambs. Thank you. Thank you. Hannibal Lecter.
Yeah.
So they made commissions look like Hannibal Lecter and fees look like Lex Luthor. No.
No.
Fees are driven
Snow White.
Snow White, thank you. Right. Fees are as pure as Snow White. I'm sorry, folks. I'm going to Florida soon.
His brain's already there.
My brain is there. Fees are Snow White and commissions are Hannibal Lecter.
Yeah.
And we see this all the time. And I poke fun of it, but it does. I've been in so many heated discussions with these fee-only advisors trying to get them to understand that what they're doing may be worse for their clients than putting them in a commission product. You want to get a fee-only person going, tell them that. And let me tell you, it is not pretty. They take it to heart. Now, I don't know if it's because they're worried that their marketing gimmick of fee only is being exposed as not being as pure as they like to think, or if they truly do drink their Kool-Aid into thinking a commission is evil. All commissions are not evil, and all fees are not good. It's up to you, the consumer of an annuity, to know that. I'm trying to give you an inside view to figure this out. Don't believe everything the fee people are saying and don't believe everything the commission people are saying. Learn both. What is that? We report, you decide. Isn't that ABC? That's not ABC. That's Fox. Yeah. Isn't that Fox? Fox News, you report, you decide?
I don't remember who does that one. It's familiar, but I don't remember which one does that.
Yeah, it's kind of like that company that does the we report, you decide. So we're trying to give you that information. We report, you decide. We're going to teach you, you decide. So we already tried to get you to know there's some annuities with such small commissions anyways. The difference between a fee and a fee-based product, the difference between a commission and a fee-based product is very small. Depending on what the registered investment advisory firm is going to charge to open it, because they're not going to be paid at all. So are they going to charge you? Most, from David Lau, the guy who runs DPL, admits most are going to charge you an AUM fee on whatever you put into the annuity. And the general fee, he said, is 1%, or not him, but his employee has told me, is about 1%. So Chris and I's point was on last week's show, if you buy a MYGA paying 4.2 to a registered investment advisor, but they're taking one off of it
each year.
Each year, and you could buy an evil commission one, maybe paying 3.8, but that's it. That includes the commission. You might be better off with the 3.8 than the 4.2 minus one. So you really have to negotiate with that registered investment advisory firm. And it's one of the reasons, again, we will say for us, in case people say, well, how do you do it? We simply cap our fee when we manage client assets, and we do not consider these fee-based annuities to be anything more than another option to put client money in, whether that's a mutual fund, an ETF, or a fee-based annuity. We don't care. It all becomes part of your allocation in our eyes. And by capping our fee at a few thousand dollars a year, we feel we can at least give advice as unbiased as possible. Okay, wonderful. That's the commercial for us. The industry doesn't work that way. So if you look for one of these fee-based annuities, you might have to also pay an ongoing fee. Now you have to compare the two. And when you get to an annuity called a fixed indexed annuity, it gets very difficult. And that's what we're trying to explain to you today.
Yeah, the MYGA example we used last week was actually very straightforward. There weren't a lot of moving parts. It was, here's the different yield or rate on these two things that are promised contractually. The commission-based versus the fee-based, the only thing you have to adjust for is what fee is your investment advisor representative going to be charging you on the fee-based version of it, and is it big enough to eliminate the advantage that you had by picking that one versus the commission-based one? That was essentially the story on a MYGA. Today's going to be a lot more complicated.
It's a lot more complicated. So fixed indexed annuities and their new cousin that are getting all the attention, registered indexed linked annuities, RILAs, or buffer annuities, they go by many different names, they commission a heck of a lot. So now the difference between a fixed indexed annuity sold on the old commission channel and the newer shiny ones sold on the RIA channel, now there's some legitimate differences in potential earnings. However, the way those products work, it still may not be the best option. A lot's going to come down to what the firm selling you the annuity is going to charge you and what you earn in interest.
Right, which isn't set like the MYGAs, where it's just a flat stated upfront, here's the rate you're going to get every year. The indexed feature of this allows for a variable interest crediting now based upon some reference, and that reference is unknown when you buy it.
So we're going to dumb this down. We're not going to turn this into a fixed indexed annuity discussion.
Right. I was going to say we need to keep it tight.
They'll go too fast. So we're just going to assume you kind of know them, and I'm going to talk about them in a very simple light. So these annuities, Chris is correct. They pay a variable rate of interest based on the index you choose to tie your interest credit to. For today, we're going to choose the S&P 500 because everybody understands the S&P 500. All of these annuities do come with a fixed account as well. We're not going to talk about those. We're just going to talk about indexing your money to the S&P 500. You will never lose in these annuities. Zero is your hero is what the insurance industry calls them. I hate that, but you'll hear that all the time from an insurance person. Because you can never lose, zero is your hero. The worst you will get is zero interest. Your principal will never drop.
Let me make it a little more precise for you, though. You'll never lose in the relationship with the insurance company, in the contract itself. Remember, now there's this outside influence going on here in that the registered investment advisory firm might be charging you a fee outside of that contract. So that's what adds a little spin here. What Jim said is correct if you look at the contract itself. But as he's going to lead into, it's possible you could net less than zero once you factor in the outside, the external fee that's being charged here. So I did want to make that's a concept that we didn't have to talk about before because it was all just the contract performance. Now there's this external piece that you've got to throw in there. So I just wanted to make sure it was that we're not leaving any little tidbits out like that.
True. Zero is your hero is on the commission side, because the commission side, your fee is embedded into the product, and they embed it into the product based on how much interest they're going to let you keep. Inside the fee-based product, because there is no commission, that commission gets, I guess, put back into the product. So you have the potential to earn more. So let me walk you through and you'll get a better understanding. And before people scream and yell or send me an email, hey, you never mentioned this. Everybody always says on these fixed indexed annuities, it doesn't include dividends. You don't get dividends. I'm so fed up with hearing that. Your money on these products, folks, is never invested in the markets. Let me say that again. It's never invested in the markets. The insurance company puts the vast majority, probably 90%+ of your money, or 87% about, one company told me once, in bonds. Mm-hmm. 3% pretty much goes to the insurance company for overhead. 10% goes into the options market. They trade options on it. And when you're trading options, you don't get dividends.
Yeah. And it's kind of like, I always like to compare it to, I don't know why this came to me one day, I was driving around, but you've got a road parallel to a railroad track and you're like chasing the train that's next to you. The train is the S&P 500. If your car is going the speed you're trying to match that or get, you know, kind of referencing the train, you're never on the train. You're never on the train. Your car is just being designed to try to keep up with the train to a certain extent. That's with the relationship. There's always this separation between the two. You're not on the train. You're not invested. All they're doing is deciding how fast your car is going to go based on how fast the train's going to go, and you don't get it all. The train's always going to go faster, hopefully.
Well, I always hear that. You didn't mention you don't get dividends. Of course you don't get dividends. If you were trading in the options market, you wouldn't get dividends. So it doesn't include dividends. It's the price change in the S&P. It looks at where the S&P opened. It looks at where it closed. It does not count dividends. Let's just get that out in the open. So they put about 10% of your money and they give it to their options desk. 3% goes to their admin staff to run the insurance company. And the rest, about 87%, actually goes to their bond desk. Insurance companies have some of the biggest bond trading desks in the world. Mm-hmm. And they're investing it in fixed income because they have to. That's part of the agreement they have with the regulators, that they're not going to take much risk with a lot of the money. But they could put a little of it in the options market. And depending on the index you choose and how their options desk works, you have the potential to earn a little more than straight off interest. So that's as deep as we're going to get in them. So what I did, there's one company out there. I'm not going to name the company. Somebody really wants to know, I'll tell them, but I'm not going to name it. That actually distributes on both channels, folks. They are on the new RIA fee-based channel. They were one of the first companies to adopt that channel. And they're also on the insurance and broker dealer commission channel. So it's very easy for me to show you what I'm talking about. So they have on the commission side a 5-year fixed indexed annuity tied to the S&P 500. And they will give you, it's called point to point. They're going to look at a 1-year time period. Let's say you open the annuity today. It's June 28th, 2022. They will look at the S&P's value on the day you open it, June 28th, 2022. And they'll look at it June 28th at 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, so on and so forth. For 5 years, every June 28th, they'll look at what the S&P was and where it was the previous year on June 28th. And they will give you that much return as interest, not a capital gain, interest, up to a level they call the cap rate. They have to control their risk. They can't give you 100% of the market and none of the loss, especially when they're only investing a small portion of your premiums. They have to put the majority of it into the bond market. So right now, the cap rate from this company for a 5-year fixed indexed annuity on the commission side is 7.15%. Write that down, Chris, because you're going to be doing the math work.
Yep, I just wrote it down.
So what they're saying, folks, is if you opened it today on June 28th and a year later on June 28th, they're going to go point to point. They're going to look June 28th to June 28th and see what the market has changed. They will give you 100% of the price change, no dividends. Don't look at the total return. Look at the price change of the market. It's a different graph you have to look at. Look at the price change of the market. And if the market was up 5, you'll get 5% interest. If the market was up 15, you'll get 7.15. They cap how much you can get. Yeah. On the downside, if the market was down 20 like it is now, you get what, Chris?
0.
A big fat 0. And your principal never moved. Mm-hmm. Now, true, they can raise and lower the cap rate every anniversary. We're not talking about, it's not germane to today's topic. We're trying to teach you about commissions and fees. We'll cover that on another topic. I'm just trying to anticipate the emails I get. You never mentioned this. You never mentioned that. We're not getting deep into fixed index annuities. We're trying to get you to understand what's better, a commission or a fee. Well, here's nobody knows, as you'll see in a minute. Okay, same company, 5-year fixed indexed annuity distributed on the fee-based channel, the RIA, Registered Investment Advisor channel, where the person selling it to you gets paid nothing, so they're going to impose a fee on that annuity. We explained to you that the IRS said you can take up to 1.5% in a quote-unquote fee every year out of that annuity, and it will not be taxable to the annuity owner. So these are these fee-based annuities. So let's just assume, since DPL told me that about 1% is the average, let's just assume it's a 1% fee, Chris, okay? Mm-hmm. On this fee-based annuity, the cap rate, as you're going to see, folks, substantially bigger. Why? These annuities commission a lot. They do. Mm-hmm. They commission a lot.
And if they're paying that, they're letting that money stay within the contract effectively, and they can pass more performance on to you.
All the fees in these products are reflected in the interest, or in this case, cap rate, they're going to allow you to keep. It's embedded in that. So when that commission was stripped out of the product, the insurance company's thinking, great, I don't have to pay all that. So we can give more. The current, and this was checked last week, so it might have changed by time you listen to this. Keep that in mind. These rates were from last week. 9.25, significantly higher than 7.15. Mm-hmm. Correct, Chris?
Yes, sir. 2.1 percentage points.
So in my example, though, follow this through, folks. If the market is up 5, what do both annuities earn, Chris?
Well, on the contract, you're going to get 5% interest crediting. But on the fee-based one, you got to pay the fee out of that.
You'll get 5 minus whatever the fee is. Remember, on the commission one, the fee is embedded. What you see is what you get. 5 is 5. You could have got 7.15, but the market was only up on a price change of 5. You get 5. On the fee-based side, same cap rate. Different cap rate, 9.25. But that bigger cap rate is meaningless until the market, on a price change basis, exceeds 7.15.
Right.
Everything below that, it's a wash in what you would earn initially. But on the fee-based product, they're still yanking their 1% out. They're going to yank 1% out of your account. So in simple math, I know the math isn't going to quite work out this way. You got 5, but they took 1, you netted 4. I get it. The math doesn't work quite out that way, but it's very close four. Mm-hmm. So here you have a situation where this pure as the driven snow, Snow White product, didn't pay you what the commission-based product paid you.
For that year, it was worse.
Mm-hmm. Right. You see how difficult this gets, folks.
But it could be better, right?
Could be better. I also said, what if the market was up 15? So if the market on a price change is up 15, the commission product paid 7.15. The other product paid 9.25. They took 1%. So again, not perfect math, but about 8.25 left, which is higher than 7.15. Mm-hmm. The point we're trying to make.
Not much, though. Even though the market was at 15, 20, 25% maybe, you're still only going to beat the commission product by 1.1%, roughly.
Exactly. Doesn't matter what the market earns above 9.25 in our example. Mm-hmm. No one on either annuity is going to get it. Market could be up 30%. Doesn't matter. The most you're going to get is 9.25 in the fee-based product, 7.15 in the commission-based product, but the fee-based product is going to have their fee removed. What is that fee? You need to negotiate that with your advisor. Or it may not even be a negotiation. He or she may say, this is what it is, take it or leave it. That's what makes this so difficult. And then in the case of a negative return, doesn't matter if it's down 0.1% or 50%, it's meaningless. Both are zero. But in the fee-based product, your fee is still coming out.
Yep.
Now you're -1.
Right.
Whereas the commission product is just zero. So you see
how murky this all got after we introduced a different kind of an annuity into this conversation? The whole Snow White versus Hannibal Lecter thing. It's not that crystal clear by any means. It's very murky. And there's no way to know what is going to be the best option up front because you don't know how the index is going to perform in advance. That's the challenge. You have to decide what you personally prefer.
Exactly. And that's why I hate the industry. And I am, a person can never be a registered investment advisor. I'm a principal of a registered investment advisory firm.
Right.
I have a registered investment advisory firm. We are not bashing them and we are not bashing commission people. Now, I'm just trying to teach you why I have both an RIA and an insurance license. I don't think it's as black and white, on and off, left or right, east or west, as the industry makes it out to be. Commission's bad, fee's good. It's not that simple, folks, on these products. If your five-year period included a time in the market where the stocks were just on fire for 5 years, the fee-based product very well may be the better one, depending on what your fee is. Yeah. But what if you were in a down 5-year period, or more typical, a very mediocre. Yeah. 2-4% a year, a little 7% 1 year, -2 another year, just a kind of blah 5 years. The commission-based product would have been better. Mm-hmm. No product, in my opinion, is better than the other. And to just compare cap rates, which is what the RIA industry does, I think is a sham. You got to explain to your clients, there is no commission, but I am charging a fee. A fee is a commission by another name. That's what it is. You got to be paid. You all didn't amass $2, $3, $4, $5 million working for free. My industry, we're not going to work for free. Some people have chosen to be paid a commission. Some people have been chosen to be paid a fee. It's all money out of your pocket.
The good news is I think the fees are generally more transparent and understood depending on the fees we're talking about. There are, quote, fees embedded in insurance products that are hard to see. But we're talking about the investment advisory fee or your advisor's fee. They should be divulging that to you up front, and you should know exactly what it is. What I think they're getting away with right now, too many of them, is they're just standing up and stating their fee with confidence, like this is the way it is and this is how everybody does it. And they say it so powerfully, or try to, so that nobody questions it. That's just the way it is. Oh, that's just the way it is. Thank you for telling me what it is, but I'll just cower in the corner and I'll not question it, and I'll just pay this. And over time, you'll erode my ultimate portfolio performance or asset performance, just as if I was being leached by commissions in the old days. You know, life doesn't have to be that way. The industry doesn't have to be that way. It can be even better than just simple transparency on this one element. I think there needs to be, like we talk about all the time, transparency on what is the fee going to? It's paying for this, that, and the other thing. These are the services you're getting, blah, blah, blah. Then you can decide as an educated consumer if what you're getting for the fee they're charging is a good value for you or not. We're not quite there. We're not really that close to there yet. Hopefully we'll continue evolving toward, when I say we, not us personally, but we're talking about the industry here, evolve towards that, empowering consumers to understand their money, understand what they're paying for, what they're getting, and be able to make that value determination. It's still too hard for people to do that, in my opinion. And I believe Jim agrees. But
no, I do, absolutely. And that's, again, what makes this a little difficult. It just, we're just trying to teach you. These are the facts. And even though these quote-unquote cap rates are big, you take a 1 or 1.5 or even more percent fee out of that annuity, it quickly eliminates that advantage. Yep. Of the quote-unquote fee-based product. And that's not talked about enough. Maybe the commission that the agent earns is difficult. Ask them. Just say, hey, there's a commission. I'm not going to get deep into it, but there is a commission product right now that we identified. I think staff told me 7 people who might benefit from it out of everyone we work with. So I've looked at it. I've researched it. My commission on it, folks, is going to be 0.85%. There is no fee-based product at all on par with this. None. So staff is reaching out to people and saying, hey, we think this might work. It fits what you told us you wanted to do. And we're telling them, if you move forward, we are going to be paid 0.85% of what you put in. That's the commission. If insurance people would just disclose it, they hold it in like this evil secret. And maybe it should be, because most of these are purchased on a big lump sum. And here's the issue on the insurance side. So you put $500,000 in this. Most of these fixed indexed annuities are going to commission about 5 to 7%. So let's say 6 in a lump sum. Okay, Chris?
Yep.
So you put $500,000 in. That guy's going to walk away with 30 grand. He's going to walk away with it all up front. Mm-hmm. He don't want to tell you that. He doesn't want to sit there and say, well, if you put that $500,000 in, I'm going to get $30,000. The difference between the two, You put $500,000 in at 1%, they're going to get $50,000, but it's just going to take 10 years to get it. And if the annuity earns any interest, they may walk away with more than 50. So it's just, the numbers are big. There was a movement to make insurance agents and registered investment advisors on the DOL rule that died a couple of years ago to disclose in dollars what someone would pay over 10 years on the RIA side and to disclose in dollars what the commission would be. That obviously died when the DOL rule died. I hope something like that comes back, because this fee-based pure as the driven snow, they're going to actually walk away with more money than the commission guys, just that the commission guy gets it all up front. They might walk away with 50 or 60 or 75, depending on if there's any earnings. So it's just, what's right? What's wrong? I hate this argument. That's why I came up with, to me, what the answer is. Cap your damn fee. Just stop charging this unlimited AUM fee. You know, one of the things I see the marketing side from companies like DPL and Retire One and a couple of others that are serving this new channel for distributing these fee-based products. You know what the hook or the bait or whatever is that they try to get RIAs to go over? Stop losing money to annuities. Keep the money under your AUM. Come, look at what we can do for you. You're not going to lose money to annuities. We can give you annuities and you can still charge your AUM. That to me is just as vile and unethical as anything else. I think the industry should cap their fee. Now I'm turning this in, I apologize at the end, into more of an editorial. I am against, and so is Chris, Ken Fisher, your buddy, what does he always say and how do you say it?
Well, their big marketing thing is, we do better when you do better. That's how they design their fees, which sounds glorious, other than what they don't divulge is, or have to admit, is that when you do better as far as your portfolio, that might be doing better, might have nothing at all to do with an investment advisor, including Fisher Investments or anybody else, not to just pick on them. We pick on them because they have this saying that they blast out there. This is that them standing up and saying it with such authority and conviction that they get you to believe that it's great. This is a prime example of what I mentioned before. We like to say, you know, with a capped fee, when you do better, you do better, right? We're not investing alongside you. We're providing you advice, and if the markets reward you for taking risk, and your portfolio goes way up, what did we have to do with that? We didn't. We did our part. You paid us for our part of that. Your basic information about what to do with these investments or what have you. When we're talking about just that piece of it, we're not talking about all the other financial planning activities that might deserve a fee be paid for those. We're talking about just the management of the investments. When you do better, you should do better. When it doesn't have anything directly to do with your investment advisor, if it has something to do with what they told you to do, yeah, you should reward them for the basics of what they do. But this uncapped fee, we do better when the market does better, which is when you do better, and we're not taking any risk, really, because we're not invested you are.
They still get paid when the market goes down. Losing money, yeah, exactly. They're still making money. They may not be making as much, but they're still getting money.
Right, and they know their fees are always going to be going up in the long term, because unless things change in this world, the markets in the long term go up. So, yeah, that's
so you got to be shtick. Careful with these annuities. I like them. We use them. Clients of ours, if they happen to be listening, I don't know. You might be saying, well, you've done this with us. We use them. Of course we use them, because we cap our fee. What I'm getting, I'm going to finish with this editorial again. And I wish the industry would change, and maybe someday it will. We try to unbundle and be as transparent as possible. Ask your investment advisor to do the same. If you're buying a commission product, ask them, what are you being paid in percentages and dollars? Tell me. I know it's going to be over whatever the term is, whether it's a 5-year, 10-year, 15-year. Well, you're not going to see a 15-year annuity anymore. But, you know, just ask them, what are you being paid? And what are you going to do for me for that fee? Mm-hmm. If the only thing they're doing is putting you in that product, you might want to say thanks, but no thanks. Do the same on the investment advisor side. Now, maybe that 1% fee or whatever it is they're charging, they're giving you a tremendous amount of services for it. Mm-hmm. And if that's the case and you feel your total fee is well worth the services, maybe they're doing tax prep, maybe they're doing tax planning, building in some estate planning advice, doing your retirement analysis and insurance review, whatever the case may be. Maybe they're doing an awful lot on it and it's well worth the fee. But if all what they're doing is managing your money, mm-hmm. I don't know. What I would ask for, especially on the RIA side, you won't really expect this level of service on an insurance-only side. And if you go to an insurance-only advisor, unfortunately, the only thing they can do is insurance. That's their whole business model. So they're going to be very reluctant to tell you what the commission is and what the dollar amount is. Or they may tell you in a percentage and hope you don't actually sit there and do the math.
Well,
because there's not much more they can do.
And be warned, so what they typically do, many of them, they to try to deflect this, they'll say, oh, you don't pay me anything. The insurance company pays
Oh,
me.
Yeah. Oh, I hate that. I see that all the time. Like,
oh, you don't pay me anything. Well, we just proved that you did by showing you this difference in the rates on the MIGAs.
Yes. Yeah. You're paying them. Trust me. The money's coming from you, not the insurance company. Anyways, what I'm getting at, folks, if you are using a registered investment advisor firm, I personally think you should demand, if they're an AUM firm, demand from them an itemization of the bill every year. Hey, I added up everything. It looks like I ended up paying you guys $18,000. Can you explain to me what that $18,000 went to? Just what did you do for me? Because they'll say, we did this retirement plan. We did your taxes. Great. Can you break it out? How much was for managing my assets? How much was for doing my taxes? How much was for doing whatever it is you told me you did for me? Can you break it out? How did you come up with this? That's why I left the uncapped AUM world. I used to look and say, there's no justification of fees. I was either making a killing or being burned. I was doing work for clients where I added it all up and I thought, Chris, oh my God, I didn't get nearly out of this what I needed. I spent time on doing this, and this is all I got. So what happens is you then don't want to work for those smaller clients or you tend to ignore them. And that bothered me deeply. Mm-hmm. And conversely, there were other clients where I looked, oh my God, I got this much out of them and mm-hmm. I tried to do all I could and I still don't think I justified my fee. I remember an advisor telling me once it all equals out. And I thought, what kind of BS is that? You're telling me that some of my clients are supporting some of my other clients who aren't paying enough? That's the secret of the industry. The reason they don't want to unbundle it, the reason they don't want to itemize it, a lot of you are paying way more than you should. And there's some of you, you're getting a damn good deal. So I attacked it again, always remembering what that business consultant told me. I didn't choose. Well, I guess I did choose to be a retirement planner. I just didn't know. I didn't see it. It took me hiring someone who looked at my firm and literally ripped me a new one on some of the things I was doing to get me to see my passion was retirement planning. Just do retirement planning and learn all you can about it. And that's how I did it. But one of the things I hated, Chris, and still do if you can't tell folks, is the opaqueness of fees and this whitewashing of a Snow White fee only is fabulous. And we say this all the time. We're going to a different pricing model. We'll announce it next year. And we've been warned by the legal people that we're working with. The pricing model we're going to try to do is very difficult and will be looked at deeply by regulators because they don't understand it.
Right.
It is totally different in the sense it's all out there. We lay it all out there. And you'll see. We'll explain next year. Yeah. And they keep telling us, just go to an AUM fee. It's so much easier. You don't have to lay anything out. And that's why a lot of people do the AUM, folks. It's so easy. They're never examined by a regulator and say, well, we see you charged 1.5% on this $3 million portfolio. Can you please justify your fee? Do we ever see that, Chris? Or do they ever see something like that?
No. It's as if there's no possibility that you didn't get your money's worth for investment management. But when you start charging per activity, if you will, or per menu item, I like to say, or for advice on all these other things, then they look at it, you know, with scrutiny, with a microscope, trying to figure out, really, did you give them enough value in these answers you gave to justify this few hundred dollars over here or something? It's absolutely ridiculous. But that's the regulatory world we live in.
Yeah, we were examined a couple of years ago by one of the state regulators.
Which is normal.
Which is normal, yeah. Don't think there's anything we did. If you're with an SEC, you will be examined within the first 18 months of registration, then about every 3 years after. When you're at the state level, it's about every 5 years, but we're registered in so many states, we get examined all the time by a bunch of different states. And they couldn't, the regulators couldn't for the life of them. And she was a nice woman as far as regulators go. Understand our cap fee structure. It just was archaic to them. They didn't get it. And again, if we were charging 1.5% on $3 million, that's 45 grand. Mm-hmm. We're never asked, well, what did you do for that 45?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you disclose it's 1.5%? To your client, you did, okay. And are you invoicing them at least quarterly and showing them the math work behind how you came up with the 45,000? Never did you itemize what you did for that 45,000. I've never been asked for a regulator.
Nope.
Can you defend? Can you show me how you charged 45,000? What services did you deliver that was worth 45,000 to that client? None
Never.
Of that, folks,
Never.
Is under the AUM model. None of it. But you start charging individually for services. What proof do you have that you serviced it? How did you come up with that pricing? Why is that pricing fair? Oh, it's a nightmare.
Yeah.
And it's either the regulators are in cahoots with the AUM people trying to make AUM it, or they truly just don't understand a different pricing model. But what I'm getting at, and I want to get off this because it sounded like a commercial, and I apologize, it's not what we're trying to do. When you buy these annuities or consider them, don't bash commissions, don't love fees. Look at them both. And understand on these fixed indexed annuities, I don't know what the better one is. It's tough. Now, one of the reasons we cap our fee, you pay us the same whether we manage $500,000 or $5 million. Our fee is the same. When you're given your cap fee, we cap it. That way, when you do better, as Chris says. Or if you want to consolidate to make things simpler, you don't have to worry that our fee is going to go up. That's not how we work. We cap it. And you pay the same, whether you have $5 million with us, $4 million with us, $3 million with us. So if you want to move money elsewhere and do other things, we're not biased.
You want to pay off your house, something, you know, give a bunch of money to your kids. None of that is going to affect our relationship with you.
Put money in one of these fixed indexed annuities. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We don't care, because if you're going to get 9.25% cap rate, and we're not going to charge you anything beyond the convenience fee that we call it a convenience fee for managing your portfolio. Most people could manage their own portfolios. They just don't realize they could do it. Well, most people who have at least graduated high school and paid attention during high school could actually manage their own portfolios, because computers nowadays make it so easy. They may need help being called off the ledge and jumping over and down markets, but asset management is easy. Distribution, totally different thing. But we call our asset management service a convenience fee, because you could do it yourself or you could hire us and we'll do it for this capped fee and we'll tell you exactly what we're going to do. We lay it all out. We show it all to you. If the industry would just do that, I would like the industry more. So I know this started with an annuity and fee base, but the RIAs, you got this coming to you because you are the fee. You're the Snow White. The problem is, I don't know if this Snow White annuity with a 1% fee on top of it or whatever the fee is better than paying the commission one. And neither do you. Yet you advertise it as if the fee-based product is always better. And I don't know if it's always better. And that's what we're trying to teach you. So if you're considering these, look at both. But the problem is, on that RIA channel, I don't think you're going to find any that will open one of these annuities for a flat transaction fee. They're looking at these as ways to gather AUM.
Mm-hmm. And to keep it within their grasp.
And to keep it, mm-hmm. Yep. And they're going to say, yes, we'll open that $500,000 annuity with a 9.25% cap rate. But you have to bring all your money over to us. Or we're going to charge you 1% on it. And now you're right back into that boat. What's better? And as you can see, it all depends what the market does during that 5-year period you own it. And even then, even if the market goes through the roof, as Chris said, you're capped at 9.25. The other one's capped at 7.15. You subtract that 1% fee, as Chris pointed out, there's not much of a difference between the two. And if the market has just a couple of negative years where there's a zero on the commission side, but a negative one on the fee side, the commission side might have been better. So that's all we're trying to share with you. It's difficult. I like these annuities. I truly do. The problem with them is I don't like how the industry charges. I don't like how they have this uncapped AUM fee that very well may make a fee-based annuity more expensive or less beneficial than the commission annuity. Where's the problem? I don't think the answer is in commission annuity or a fee-based annuity. The answer, Chris, and the problem is the opaqueness of how financial services industries charge, whether it's commission or fees. On the commission side, you don't know what the hell you paid them. On the fee side, you don't know what it's going to. You don't know what they're doing for it. They're not itemizing it out.
And it might be bigger than the commission that you paid.
That's, right. Yeah. Again, why do you think I came up with my pricing model? I hated doing more work for some people and I wasn't being paid enough. That was unfair to me, but I equally hated, you may think it's BS, but I kid you not, I equally hated the people that I was getting too much for, and I ended up cutting their fees down. And I just thought, this is stupid. I never know in any given year how much work I have to do, who's paying me more, who's paying me less. There's got to be a better, fairer pricing model for me and for the client. That's what you got to go look for. You got to go find a pricing model you like. Then you can choose if the commission or the fee-based product is best. If you can find a commission guy who's going to do everything, maybe it is better getting the 7.15. depending on what they're going to do for you. Doesn't mean the 9.25 with a fee on top of that, if they're not going to do anything more, is the better deal. That's what we're trying to say. All Perfect. Right, that's it.
Well, that'll be wrap the EDU shows for annuities for a bit. Next week, I think we're going to do, we need to get caught up on some tax-related stuff with Bob. So next week's EDU show will not have anything at all to do with annuities, because we'll then be in July and won't be National Annuity Recognition Month or Appreciation Month.
Awareness
or whatever
month.
It was. Awareness, sorry. I need to get my my month's titles correct.
When is this going to become a national paid holiday?
The whole month? That'd be nice. I'd vote for that.
Oh, that'd be nice. Well,
let's just take the month of June off to celebrate awareness of annuities. But yeah, I don't know. Anyway, we really appreciate everybody listening. And if you do have any follow-up annuity-style questions, it's not we're not going to do another EDU show for a while, but we could certainly get those trickled in as one-off questions in our Q&A shows. So if you do,
yeah, but they'll be back in the regular list, so it might take a while to get to them.
But yeah, National welcome annuity, to see them.
We've done annuities. We did it for the month. We're done. We're moving on.
Sounds good. So thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll be back with you next week with a brand new show.
You have listened to Jim on the radio, read his quotes in the media, and enjoyed his banter on iTunes. But even now, you may wonder what sets Jim Saulnier and Associates apart from other financial planning companies. The answer is quite simple. Jim's diverse team of professionals specializes in retirement planning. They form a lifelong relationship with you and measure their success not through product sales, but through the security and prosperity you may achieve in your retirement. Jim's entire team shares his unwavering commitment to placing their clients' best interests first while offering their services at fair prices with full disclosures. The professionals at Jim Saulnier & Associates are available to assist you with your retirement planning needs. Visit jimhelps.com to schedule your complimentary coffee and a second opinion meeting. That's Jim, H-E-L-P-S.com. Or call 970-530-0556.
The Retirement and IRA Show represents the words and views of the show hosts exclusively and should not be construed as investment, legal, or tax advice. All information is believed to be from reliable sources. However, we make no representation as to its completeness or accuracy. All economic and performance information is historical in nature and is not indicative of any future results. Any indices mentioned on the show are unmanaged and cannot be invested indirectly. Diversification and asset allocation strategies do not assure profit or protect against loss. Never make any investment or financial decisions based on information offered on this show without first consulting your financial, legal, or tax advisor. Financial planning services offered through Jim Saulnier & Associates, LLC, a registered investment advisor.